Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to Psalms 127, please. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But in vain, for it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, your kindness. I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you for the great privilege it is tonight to preach. We thank you for it. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing and a help to the people that's here tonight. God, that's what we want to do. And Lord, the only way we know how to do that is just teach and preach some principles from your Word. Now, you help us to do that tonight, and we'll give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Two weeks ago, we preached on Satan's attack on the structure of the home. I don't know how much we realize, but there's a great problem there. And any time you change the structure of something that God has ordained, you're going to have some problems. There has to be consequences. Last week we preached on the subject in having a strong marriage. And it's very, very important that we build our marriages. That's something that is not just happen automatically. It's not by accident. It's something that has to be built. And today we're going to preach on the subject of the purpose of the home. The purpose of the home. What I'm going to basically do is give you some just basic things that I believe will help the home, and what God, I believe, has ordained to happen in the home. I'm convinced, always have been, that the real letdown in things are not the real, real big things. It's the little things. I've believed that for years in a church. You try to work on the little things, keep the little things right. And the big things usually will take care of themselves. Right. And because when you drop little things, they build into big things. Right. You understand? And I believe that's true in the home. We've got to get back to the basics in the home and follow the scripture, the truths of the Word of God, and a home will be built. It'll be built right. So if we can just go back and get some of these basic things down, oh my, what a blessing it'll be. How to help the home. As I said, I believe that's true in the church. There's always a danger of straying away from just the basics. Is that too loud? Is that too loud for you? Okay, I ask him to turn it up a little because I've got it down here and I can't hardly talk. But anyway. We're just going to preach on the subject of the purpose of the home. I believe something. I believe the home is the place where we train our children. I believe that. That's where we train them. I believe that the home is the place where, you don't realize it maybe, but you and I had been in training for 18 or 20 years on how to be a mother and a father. We've been in training for 18, 20 years how to be a husband and a wife. Now, we may not understand that, but that's why God put us in a home. And sometimes the training is not everything it should be. I confess, I'm sure that the training I give my children is not as good as it should have been. But let me say something to you. You don't start blaming somebody for that. What you do is you say, I'm going to do better. If there's areas that we failed in, then what I want to encourage you to do is strengthen your home, take those areas and redo them and do them better than your parents did. Amen? But listen, a lot of the training that comes for us to establish a home does come from our homes, where we grew up. And we've got to be very careful, make sure they're good biblical teachings and training, so our homes will be right, okay? Because you could grow up into a home where there hasn't been established, structures wrong and all those things. You've got to be very careful because you'll establish yours that way. Okay? You'll do the same thing. But you need to get biblically and make sure that they're being done in a biblical manner. The word family you find in the Bible 287 times. I think it's important, don't you? We find household 68 times. The word house, I didn't bother to count them. There's so many of them, I just didn't count them. But I'm saying to you, God has a lot to say about the home. You're all familiar where Joshua, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You're familiar with that. That's a wonderful statement. Joshua chose to lead his house in such a way that they was going to serve God. Now, if you go back in that same book, you'll find Achan, which absolutely chose to lead his family in the opposite direction. He chose the gold, the silver, the Babylonian garment. And we all know, I think you're familiar with the fact that because of that, him and his family was killed. Because he chose to go in the wrong direction. I believe something. I believe somewhere in life, each man will decide which way his family is going to go. He chooses that. Just as sure as salvation is a choice, we choose to believe. I believe that a man chooses what direction his family is going to go. Okay? We better choose right. Amen. We better choose the right direction, you see. Now, I want you to go back with me in just to Genesis, just for a few moments. Genesis, the first chapter. Now, when I said all of that before, as you're turning there, I'm not saying that things in the family can't happen that's outside of your control. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is we basically choose. Well, back in 1966, my wife and I both received Christ as our personal Savior. We had all four of our children when we got saved. David was, as I remember, about 3 years old when we got saved. Now, from that point on, we began to make some choices. And let me say to you, you better start making choices early. When you get saved, you better start making choices that'll determine what direction your family is going to go. Okay? In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created in him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." You might turn this down a little bit. It's ringing just a little bit. So if we'll turn that down just a little bit. Now, we find here that God said, and he gave the word to be fruitful and multiply. Now, that's what God said. That was his plan. Okay? Here's Adam and Eve. He wanted them to be fruitful and multiply. Go over to Genesis 2, the second chapter, verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she has taken out a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You find that God here brought a woman into Adam, Eve, and he said, you're to cleave one to another. You're to leave your mother and your father. Now listen in that. There's a great principle there. When you get married, you're to leave mom and dad. That doesn't mean you're not to love them. You're not to care for them. But you're establishing a new home. Okay? I mean, folks, my children, when they went out and got married, they established a new home. And I really feel like, and I hope this is true, I don't feel like we've ever tried to interfere with their lives. I just don't believe we've done that. I've tried hard not to interfere with their lives. They've established a new home. The men of their families are the ones that is ahead of their family. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Now, look at Genesis, the fourth chapter, the first and second verse, and then we'll go on. You notice here in the fourth chapter, and Adam knew why Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. If you just notice here, what we find is now you have a husband, you have a wife, and you have children. That is the structure. That is what God ordained. It's family. See, one of the main purposes for the home is to bear children. That's one of the main purposes. That's what God said. Now, I realize, I understand some people cannot have children. That's up to the Lord to determine that. But most people, when they get married, will have children. It is right and proper for you to do so. I'll be very truthful. I don't like to hear somebody say, well, we're going to wait 2 or 3 years before we have children. Well, I mean, you could do that. No one's going to stop you from it. But I say, you know what? God puts you together to have children. See, he wants you to have children. I've done my best to get our children to have more children. But they didn't do it, you know. I was rooting for them, you know. Just have some more, you know. David one day told me, I said, David, he said, you know, a blessed man is when he has his quiver full. And he said, mine's full. So if you know what I mean. But anyway, I'm for. I think families ought to have children. I think that's ordained of God, you see. So please don't listen to them old people who try to parent control stuff and all that. Don't do that. You have children like God said to. Amen. Because that's what God wanted you to do. Amen. So that is a family. So it's the purpose of, one of the purposes of the home is to have children. Amen. Now the purpose also is to teach and train the whole family in a family. Teaching and training is what the home is for. It's to train our children. And in fact, we too learn a lot by being parents. And you say, what do you mean about training, Brother Ross? Well, we build character. There has to be character built in everybody's life. And we build character. Now, over in the book of Deuteronomy, I won't go there, but it's 6th chapter. I think most of you are familiar with it. If not, read the first part of 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. And God tells Israel there to teach their children. When they rise up in the morning, when they walk through the day, when they lay down at night, teach their children. Now, God didn't change principles. He wants us still to teach our children and train our children. The Bible says, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, nurture speaks of reproof and punishment, and admonition speaks of correcting through words and teaching through words. A lot of that is not taking place today. There's not been training of the children. Sometimes they're just considered a bother. But folks, God gave them, as our text said, as a heritage of the Lord. He expects us to take them and shape them as arrows, so that they, when they are turned loose, will go straight. I mean, isn't that correct? You see, that's our job. And you can't do that job without training and teaching. admonishing them and nurturing them in the Lord. That's what God has ordained for the home to do. You know, to build character. The word character means trait or quality or attribute. An individual's pattern of behavior or personality, moral constitution, moral strength, self-discipline, fortitude, reputation. What are we going to be when we grow up? Now, I'm not talking about somebody, we can make a mistake. We can make a mistake. Yes, we can. But I'm talking about on a life. What are we as a person? What have we been developed into? How do we handle things? How do we walk? Are we honest? All of those kinds of things are part of the character that is supposed to be put in us. And most of that needs to be put in us in the home. Okay? The home is the place where we are to be taught these things. The Word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. You see, we're to train him in the home. Too many times, we want to put the training off on somebody else. Listen, folks, the church is a wonderful, wonderful place. The Christian school is a wonderful, wonderful place. I love them both and appreciate everything they do. But that's not really the place where God wanted them to be trained character-wise. We do that. We do help them. We should do that. We should help them. But parents should be doing that in the home. We turn them things over to Sunday schools and church services and schools and things like that. And yes, we ought to back them up. We ought to help train them. And there's some that don't get trained. We ought to do that. But the home is the place where it ought to be built. Okay? That's what God intended for the home. That's a purpose of the home, you see. That's a place. And in fact, let me say this. If like a school, Christian school situation, or at home situation, if you've got a child that's over and over and over committing the same things, doing the same things wrong, you need to correct that. No, the parent needs to correct it. You need to get it straight, because that child is going to carry that character trait throughout the rest of their life. And now's the time to correct that. You know, a school can help somewhat, but a parent must correct that. Why does that child continue to get in trouble for the same things? Well, there's a character flaw. I mean, don't you agree with that? I'm not getting too many amens. But there's a character flaw in them if they continue to do that. Well, it needs to be corrected. You begin to work on it and correct that, okay? You see, because that's the home is the place where those things ought to be taught. Just like obedience, for a child to obey ought to be taught in the home. You oughtn't have to wait till he comes to school to be taught to obey. And let me say to you that if you have young children, you ought to teach your little ones first time obedience. Now, I understand little children has to learn that. They're just little children, little sinners. That's what they are. They've got to learn. I'm not saying you got to beat them to death, but they ought to learn it. You ought to soon expect first-time obedience. I've said many times, how many times you want to tell a child to stop when he's getting ready to run out into a road in front of a semi-truck? How many times you want to tell him? Once, twice, 30? They better know the first time. First time obedience is a special thing that ought to be taught, see. You ought to be trained. I believe that has to be done in the home. Amen. Now also they need to be taught to work. We've talked about this before, but folks, the place to teach a child to work is in the home when they're just small. Okay? When they're small, you teach them to work. And then just keep after that and teach them to work as they grow up. And one of these days, you know what they'll do? They'll grow up and they'll get out. They'll go out and get a job and they'll go to work every day. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Because they've been taught that. It's been ingrained in them. Okay? So you need to teach your children to work. That's a character trait. that needs to be taught. Moms, you need to teach your girls how to do things around the home. You need to teach them how to cook. No, I'm not saying just tell them once in a while. Teach them. Show them. Teach them how to cook. So when they one of these days get married, they'll know the basics of cooking. They don't have to be someone who knows all about everything, but they need to know the basics of cooking. You understand? These are just practical things, but these are things that needs to be done in the home. Dads, you need to teach your boys just the basic things around the house. How can you fix this or fix that or take care of a house, and how do you mow a yard, and how do you take care of a lawnmower? Just basic things. They need to be taught those things. Amen. Amen. A girl needs to know how to clean a house. She needs to know how to clean it, keep it straight. Will it always be straight? Probably not. But she sure needs to know how to clean it up. She needs to know how to do dishes. She needs to know how to set a table. See, before she goes out and gets married, she needs to know these things. Okay? You see, those are basic things that God intended for the home to teach. Okay? Also, they need to be taught good habits. I mean, just good, sensible habits. They need to be taught how to brush your teeth and do it regularly. You say, Brother Ross, is that? Yes, you need to teach them. They need to know that they get up in the morning, they eat breakfast, they go brush their teeth. You understand what you say, Brother Ross? That's basic. Yeah, I know. But a lot of it not being done. See, these are a home. A home is a place where you teach the basics. And it's the home that is responsible for teaching it. Okay? I believe in regular time to go to bed. I don't believe you ought to leave your children up late. Now, just listen to me. I know once in a while they may get up late. But let me tell you something. You need to give them a regular bedtime. And a regular getting up time. Yeah, there'll be times you say, well, they can sleep in this morning. That's all right. I'm talking about regularly what they do on a daily basis. They need to go to bed right and they need to get up right. I'll guarantee you around my house when I was a boy, you didn't lay in bed. I'm just telling you, you didn't lay in bed. You went to bed early. You went to bed early because we didn't have any electric lights. Well, I'm serious. You say, Brother Ross, no, I didn't have any electric lights when I was a younger boy. No, we didn't. You went to bed. Mom and Dad, they went to bed early. We went to bed early. We got up early. You didn't lay around. You see, my daddy gave me a work permit. He said, you can just go on out and work today. And that was an ongoing thing. Do you understand what I'm saying, though? If you don't teach these things when they're young, they're going to be trouble trying to change all of those habits when they get older. Okay? So you need to do that where? In the home. That's the purpose, you see, of the home. I believe you need to teach them cleanliness. Cleanliness is right. They need to know how to wash their hands and clean themselves and keep themselves clean. Amen. Where do you learn that, Brother Ross? In the home. That's where they learn it. Okay? And so anyway, and even neatness around the house. You know, they don't need to be slobs. Throwing stuff all over the place and leaving stuff all over the place, leaving it for mama to pick up. Well, that's a bunch of foolishness. There ought to be somewhat neatness. I understand there's going to be times. I understand all these. But basically, it ought to be a neat, fairly neat home. Amen. Well, where are they going to learn that? They're going to learn it after they get married? No, I don't think they're going to learn it after they get married. They'll continue that right on down the line, see. So what I'm saying to you is you need to teach good habits in the home. Let me say also, I believe a home is the right place to teach your children about money. That you earn money, you don't just get it given to you. But you work for it. Children ought to learn that. Amen? And then they won't be slobs when they get older. They won't be these people who want to sit out here and not do anything. No, you teach them in the home to work and to earn their money. Not only that, they need to be taught how to spend wisely. Now you say, where are they going to learn? They're going to learn this in the home. If they don't, they're going to have some basic troubles down the road. Okay? So you learn those things. Not only that, they need to learn to save. They should not be able to spend all of their money. They need to save part of it. They need to be taught how to save. And let me say this, they need to be taught how to give. They need to be taught that their tithing and their giving, that ought to be just part of their regular life. Amen. Those things are taught in the home. Folks, don't let somebody else teach it to them. And let me say to you, somebody is going to teach them one way or another. Somebody's going to teach them. Let it be you, parents. Teach them what is right. I believe also they need to teach in the home courtesy. I believe it's in the home instead of the school where they ought to be taught to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I believe we oughtn't have to fool with that when they get to school. I know we do, but we oughtn't have to. That ought to be taught in the home.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be taught in the home that how to shake hands and that you are to look a person in the eye. A man ought to look a man in the eye and shake his hand. Well, that ought to be taught. And you don't hand them Liz. Amen. Yeah. I got to be careful. This arm, it's been hurting me lately. And doctor told me it was tennis elbow. I said, you mean I got to stop playing tennis? Why are you laughing for? It really hurts. That tennis elbow really hurts. So I'm going to quit playing tennis. But anyway, you know, you don't do that. You stick a hand out. And on the other hand, listen to me. Don't grab it and try to squeeze somebody down. I've had guys in the past that grab it, you know, trying to put me down, I guess. I don't know what they're doing. I've seen them do women that way. My wife, some of them didn't want to shake hands. She didn't want to shake hands with some of them. They'd grab me. Don't be foolish, but shake a good, firm handshake. Where do you learn that? Well, dads, you're going to have to teach it. You're going to have to teach those things, you see, in the home, you see. And who goes through the door first? Yes, sir. Ladies. Well, listen, you'd be surprised. Pastor Jerry, I don't know what you see back there, but I've seen all kinds of things standing at a door for years. I used to have one guy. He's not here anymore, probably because I got on him. But he'd come in here, he'd just going through the door, and here's his wife tagging along by. That used to make me so mad. So I confronted him one day. You know, you get yourself in trouble, but I confronted him and I said, why don't you just let your wife go through the door first? What's the matter? He got mad at me, but afterwards he did start doing that. I'm just telling you, there's just a lot of little things. Where are they going to learn them? In the home. No, I'm serious. That's where they need to learn them. They don't need to learn them somewhere else. So I'm simply saying the home, the purpose is for training. You need to train your children also that there ought to be peace in the home. You ought to have a peaceful home. This old thing, and I've seen it, and I heard it, and I understand. But they'll say to me, well, you know how brothers and sisters are. Well, now, wait a minute. I don't agree with that. I know they're going to have their little skirmishes, but you know what? Brothers and sisters ought to treat each other with kindness and grace. They ought to be taught that. Where are you going to teach that? In the home. See, these are practical things that we need to do in the home and get our children ready for going out here into life. Okay? We need to do that. We need to teach them how to respect other people's possessions, brothers and sisters' possessions. If you have something that's yours, you know, then you don't go in and you know, that's yours. You've got it placed somewhere. Someone oughtn't to be bothering that. You understand? And yet at the same time, we ought to teach them how to share. Where are they going to learn these things? They're going to learn them in the home or not learn them in the home. Okay? We need to teach them these things. They need to be taught to forgive and say, I'm sorry. No, I'm serious. To forgive one another and say, I'm sorry. And let me tell you something, parents. We've got to be the example of that. We've got to set an example before them. We've got to not be afraid to say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done that. And she ought to be able to do the same thing. They see this example, then they'll learn how to do that. Amen. Where do you learn that? Well, I believe you learn that in the home. I remember reading years ago, Dwight L. Moody said, he said one time, I got all over my children. I was so mad at them. He said, I spanked one of them. And he said, I just got all over them. He said, after a bit, God worked on me. And he said, I brought them all in and set them down. He said, you know, I didn't handle that like Christ would have handled it. So I want you to forgive me. And he said, we'll straighten that out. I won't do that anymore. Don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry. You know, we're so proud, but you know what? We mess up a lot. And there's nothing wrong with just looking at someone and saying, I'm sorry. Listen, your kids need to learn to do that. We've seen it years and years in the Christian school when one of the hardest things for children would do would go up to someone and say, I'm sorry. Ought not to be. That ought to be taught. You understand what I'm saying? That's a purpose, you see, of the home. Now, real quickly, I don't have much time here, but I want to just share some things with you. First of all, I believe something. There was a man came to Jesus, and he said, my servant lieth at home sick. I know I mentioned this last week, but I believe the home ought to be a hospital. A place where, and it's what he said, my servant layeth home sick. They was caring for the servant. And only did he go out and get some help when he got to the place where he couldn't handle it. So he went to Jesus. That's a good place to go. But I'm just simply saying to your home, you know, God allows sometimes sickness to come into a home. I don't know whether you know it or not, but that strengthens a home. If some child gets sick and a mama can put a cool rag on a fevered brow and say some kind words, that child will remember that for the rest of their life. Because the home is a sanctuary, a place where they can get well. You understand? I told you last week, I think it was, I told you about my mama putting sweet oil on my ear. I still remember that so vividly, laying on her lap. And you heard putting sweet oil in my ear to help me. I remember my daddy coming in one day from work, and I'd been out, and most of the time we went barefooted, and I'd got a big old thorn in my foot. I mean, it went into my foot. It went under the skin into my foot. My daddy come in from work. Mom didn't know. She didn't think she ought to handle that. So dad come in, and he looked it over and cleaned it up and everything. He said, son, well, listen. He said he went in and got a piece of bacon fat. And wrapped it in, put the bacon fat right on that, wrapped it around. I went to bed that night. He said, we'll look at it in the morning, real early in the morning. I suppose it must have been 4:30, because Dad got up early. And he come in, woke me up, said, son, let's look at this. And so he took it all, unwrapped it there. You could see that it had pulled it, drawed it out enough. He took a pair of tweezers and yanked it out. Then he washed it and cleaned it up and put it, as I remember, probably some iodine. That's what we used to use on it. And he said, now, son, he said, I'll wrap it up here. He said, just kind of stay off of it today. And he said, it'll be all right. And he washed it real good, cleaned it, put that medicine on it. And you say, Brother Ross, you know, a lot of things happen to you. And I know a lot of things happen. But you know why I remember that? Because my daddy gave me some attention. Because my daddy took time to just come in and take care of that little problem. I'm saying to you, the home is a place where a lot of things ought to be taken care of. I know we got, you know, all kinds of diseases and all kinds of things, and there's things we have to go to the doctor for. But I just want to share with you something. A home ought to be a sanctuary. Someone is sick, they ought to be a place where they could come and be comforted and helped. Maybe a cup of chicken noodle soup or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? See, home ought to be that, you see. We ought to learn how to care one for another, you see. See, I believe we ought to feel the comfort of those around us And a child ought to be able to look back and remember that times in their life when mom and daddy showed extra attention to them, cared for them, and like I say, maybe wiped their fever dry. You understand what I'm saying? That's the purpose of it, you see, of a home, you see. It draws a family together during those times. Over in Mark, the 5th chapter, 19th verse, Jesus told that maniac that got healed, said, "Go home to thy friends." Now listen, folks, and what did he tell him to go do? He said, go tell him what great things that God has done for you and has had compassion on you. I believe the home's a wonderful place to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Not only for our children, but for others. When I got saved in 1966, I worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company over at Terre Haute. And I do not know how many times, I don't remember, but we invited people, after we got saved, we'd invite people, couples over, and talk to them about the Lord. And we've seen some saved. I believe the home ought to be a place where you can tell people about Jesus and show people that Jesus Christ is real in this home. You understand what I'm saying? I believe it's our responsibility to witness. You know, it's talked about the one who lost his sheep. The Bible says he went home and he called his friends together. I just want to tell you something. It's a wonderful place. Home ought to be a place where you can call people together and talk to them about Christ. Amen. I don't know whether you heard it or not, but we went down to my sister's house. Did you tell him that? I don't know whether you told him or not. Did you? About a week ago Thursday, and I asked him if I could come down to their house, and Donna and I went. We sat at my sister's house, and my two nieces was there, and they just let me read the Bible. We just read the Bible, talked about Jesus and how wonderful he was, and how to be saved. And Vicky called on the Lord to be saved. That's my niece. My sister Adeline said, "I want to be sure, Bobby." She said, "All I remember about is being baptized. I want to be sure. And she called upon Christ to save her. And the other one had already been saved a few weeks or so ago there at the funeral home. What I'm just saying to you is a home ought to be a place you share Christ. Amen. Not only that, in John, the 19th chapter, 27th verse, it was after the resurrections. Excuse me. Yes, it was after the resurrection. It says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." Now, what I'm saying, therefore, is the resurrection really, people didn't know what to do. Jesus they was to be left alone. And there he went. He left. He told them what to do, but they went on to their own home. A home is a place of comfort. And it ought to be a place for them. I don't remember my children coming over to our house, and I don't ever remember any of them saying, "I wish I'd stopped at the neighbor's house." They come over to our house, but it isn't long after there for a while they say, "Let's go home." You know why? Because they have a home. Home's a place of comfort. I don't know about you, but I've said it so many times, I just like to go home. Don't you? Don't you just like to be home? See, a home ought to be a place of comfort. It ought to be also that for your children. And then also, and I might just mention this in passing. I know I've got to get here. In passing, Joseph, I want to say something. I want you to listen to me. Joseph, his greatest temptations were when he left home. Now, you follow that through. Joseph left home. He was safe and secure. Now, he couldn't help this. I'm just saying, though, you notice after he left home was the greatest of temptations in Joseph's life. What I'm saying is the home ought to be a place of protection for our children. Ought to be a place where they come home and they know that Daddy, he's going to stand right. He's not going to put up with foolishness. Mama's going to stand right, do right. You see, and it's a place they can come and get alone in a place where they're protected. You see, I believe that. You see, a home is a very, very special place. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5th chapter, "Learn first to show piety at home." In other words, to be pious toward God, to worship. It's at home where you're going to have to learn. We're going to have to teach them to love God and worship God. See, it's the home that does that. I know the church helps all these things and feeds us. Our pastor feeds us. My, does he feed us from the Word of God. I'm so thankful for that. But we've got to then take it home, and then we've got to apply it. Amen. But remember, it's in the home that these things are developed in our children's lives. Do you understand? And I might mention also, you see, in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, it says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. This is another thing that's going on in homes today that is sad. The home ought to be, you follow the scripture through and see how Jesus had said it at a meal with him. I want to tell you something, a lot of things can happen at a meal. Children and parents ought to eat regularly together as much as you can. I know sometimes you can't, but I want to tell you, God designed that as a very special place for the family. To just sit down and eat together gives you a chance to talk together. You understand what I'm saying? See, that's important. Yes, it is. You may not realize all that's going on during those times, but there's a lot goes on. The family's drawn together during just sitting at a meal. And of course, in Titus 2:5, told the women to be keepers of the home. Folks, God has so many things said about the home, but listen, ladies, keep your home. Be keepers of your home. Protect your home and be keepers of the home. There's nothing in the world materially that is so important that you can't do without till your children are raised. You say, I've got a good babysitter. You don't need a good babysitter. You need a good mama. Yeah, I know. I'm saying this. I don't pastor here, so I can say whatever I want. I know by experience. I'm just telling you right now, those precious, sweet children need mama. There's no one like mama. No one in the world. I don't care if you had 10 good babysitters. I don't care how good they were. No, you're not mama. And they need mama. Okay? That's the purpose of the home, you see. And I haven't even covered everything. I could probably go back and say a lot of things, but it's time, and it's time, God's time to stop. But I'm just saying to you, you need to realize the home has its purposes. And we need to get back to the very basic things. They are what is going to train your children and build character in your children. I don't like talking about myself. I really don't. I have to sometimes. But I want to tell you, I look back on my home. We were very, very poor. I thank God that we were poor. No, I do, because it put into me things that I would have never had in me any other way. And I'm glad my daddy and mommy made me work. I, from the time we got out, time I got married, my wife will tell you, she never had a problem with me not wanting to go to work. I just got up and went to work. You know why? I was trained. I was taught. You just get up and go to work. You don't ask yourself, you know, it's like going to church. You ask yourself, do I want to go to church? Foolishness. You just get up and do it. And it's the same thing with work. You just get up and do it. I've done it all of my life. Because I was trained that that's what you do. And if you don't train your children to do that, they're going to grow up and they're going to be lazy bums. They're going to have trouble the rest of their life. They won't support their family. Understand? So a lot of things like it. I'm just saying to you, just use the home rightly. Train your children. Biblically, train them to do right. Let's pray. Father, I sure thank you today for your wonderful grace and goodness and kindness. You sure are good to us. And Father, I realize as I've said these things tonight, Lord, there isn't one of us here that's everything we ought to be. But Lord, we ought to take the admonition that we need to change, to train a generation of young people for you and teach them just some of the very basic character traits that will help them throughout the rest of their life. We'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.